So, it's good to be here. George, my word, wow, what a blessing. If you enjoyed those songs, say amen. Amen. I did. I'll tell you what. I'm thankful, number one, that you sing good songs. Amen. I know you got a good pastor. Okay. And I'm thankful, number two, that you just sing out. You got somebody that's willing to lead the singing. I can lead the singing. Don't take that. I'm not as good as him. I can lead the singing. He asked me what I want to do. That was very gracious, okay, of him to do that. And I want you to know, greetings from Calvary Baptist Church in Arcola, Texas, Gary Britton. How many of you know Pastor Gary Britton? Okay, very good. Take your Bibles. I'm not reading anything yet. I'm just still talking a little bit, but turn to Jeremiah. It's Isaiah, Jeremiah. It's stuck away there where well, we're going to be ready to go there in just a minute. But the church's name is Glory, right? Amen? Do you know what it means to glory in something? And I don't want you answering the question. But let me tell you this, okay? It's probably not, in God's eyes, good for you to glory about things. So what am I talking about? To glory about something means you're going to brag or boast or show off about what you've done, who you are, or what you're going to do. What you've done, what you're going to do, and talk about yourself, right? I don't think that's really good. But I'm going to show you tonight what God glories in, okay? And so it's interesting that that glory is the name of the church, and I'm talking about glory. I want you to see it as you, let's stand as we read God's word real quick, two verses. Verses 23 and 24. I'm going to focus on verse 23 first for a little bit. And thus saith the Lord. Now this is, boom, thus saith the Lord. Let not the wise man glory in his wisdom. That's not good. Neither let the mighty man glory in his might. That's not good. Let not the rich man glory in his riches. That's not good. But here's an answer. But let him that glorieth glory in this, that he understandeth and knoweth me. I'm going to stop right there. That you understand and know me. I'm going to call upon George one more time. Lead us in a word of prayer and for God to help me, okay? Amen. So you're going to learn tonight the things that God doesn't want you to glory in. So I'll start off with not negative, but he's going to show you in the Bible what he doesn't want you to do. And I'm not saying this applies to you, but I'll tell you what, every one of us, the center of sin is I, right? S-I-N. Do you agree with me? The center of pride is I, P-R-I-D-E. It's interesting, the center of pride and the center of sin is I, okay? And I have a way of doing things sometimes that doesn't please God. I like what it said about our Lord and Savior Jesus. He did everything to please the Lord. I do all those things that please the Father. You know, we would like, I hope you would say, I want to do that with my life. I want to please the Lord. I want to make him, what, happy, okay? And so there's ways that we can glory in that, and we can. But I'm going to go over some things that, again, it says, let not the wise man. Is there anything wrong with being wise, do you think? No. There's nothing wrong with being wise. I mean, you know, we need to pray for wisdom, right? You should pray for wisdom about every decision, about everything that you're going to do. 1 Corinthians 1:19, turn there. 1 Corinthians 1:19. Okay. I was there, but I was in the wrong chapter. 1 Corinthians 1. 1 Corinthians 1, verse 19. Okay, now I'm talking right now about let not the wise man glory in his wisdom. And so what do we use to define things? The Bible. So if I tell you a scripture, then I'm going to talk to you about that scripture. I want to see what other scriptures in the Bible say about it. Does that make sense? I think that's what you're taught here, okay? Let the Bible define what the Bible says. Let the Bible be the best commentator or the best commentator you want to read or hear from. And if somebody's up here just talking about themselves, that's not good. And that's what he doesn't like. But on verse 19, it says, "For it is written, I will destroy the wisdom of the wise and will bring to nothing the understanding of the prudent." That's interesting. Where is the wise? Where is the scribe? Where is the disputer of this world? Hath not God made foolish the wisdom of what? This world. Okay? That's what most people, that when it says, let not the wise men glory, you know what they're glorying in? What they know about this world. They're glorying about the world they live in, what they're doing in the world, and so forth and so on. Verse 20, "For after that in the wisdom of God, the world by wisdom knew not God. It pleased God by what? The foolishness of preaching to save them that believe." Who wanted wisdom? Look at this in verse 22. "For the Jews require a sign," okay? "But, and the Greeks seek after what? Wisdom." You see, in those days, the Greeks, philosophers and so forth and so on, they wanted to act wiser than everybody else. And what I see here is God shows us and points out the Greeks. I think he's saying, let not the wise man glory in his wisdom. Hey, just because you know something, don't glory in it. Don't brag about it. Don't boast about it. Amen? I've been there where, you know, you've been in the class, you see something, there's always somebody that wants to give the answer or wants to do something or whatever. And sometimes that's good, okay, if you're doing it in a humble way. And sometimes you're just wanting to what? Be a show, okay? That's not what God wants. I think God wants us to learn humility. And in learning humility, you humble yourself under the mighty hand of God, and he what? He exalts you in due time. His time. Amen? That's good. Okay. First Corinthians 3:18, talking about the wise. Now we're talking about the Greeks in this world, what they seek after. Okay? Nothing wrong with going to school. Nothing wrong with learning things. Amen? To better educate yourself. 1 Corinthians 3:18. Let no man, how many? No man deceive himself. If any among you seemeth to be wise in this world, let him become a fool that he may be wise. Does that pretty well explain again what we're trying to talk about here? Okay. Don't think you're one that should boast about everything and be wise in this world. Okay. Verse 19. For the wisdom of this world is foolishness with God. For it is written, he taketh the wise in their own craftiness. Nobody can go up against God. Amen? Nobody can go up against God. Verse 20, and again, the Lord knoweth the thoughts of the wise, that they are vain. You know what vanity is? A big zero. It's nothing. Absolutely nothing. Verse 21, therefore let no man glory in men, for all things are yours. Hey, you know, we shouldn't glory in men. Nothing wrong with saying that Brother Larry is a good preacher. Nothing wrong with saying Brother Gary at my church, he's a good preacher. Amen? And I need to be under good preaching. Amen? Faith cometh by hearing, hearing by the word of God, Romans 10:17. You're not going to grow if you're not growing in the word. You're not going to grow unless you're trying to be wise in the word. You're not going to grow if you're a boaster or a bragger. Okay? And so let God exalt you. Let God have his way in your life. What does God want for you? We'll talk about that in a little bit. But turn to James chapter 3. Again, what are we talking about? The wise man. James chapter 3. Hebrews and then James. Peter. James chapter 3. James chapter 3, verse 13. Who is a wise man and endued with knowledge among you? Let him show out of a good conversation his works with what? Meekness of wisdom. That's being humble. That's giving in to somebody else. Now, if then they insist that you do something, or if God allows you to be the one that talks, that's great. But do it in meekness. Do it in humility. Verse 14, but if you have bitter envy and strife in your hearts, glory not and lie not against the truth. And then look at this verse 15. This wisdom, the one that we're talking about not to have, descendeth not from above. Well, if it's not from above, obviously, where's it from? Okay? The devil wants to use you to take away the glory from God. That's what Lucifer wanted. I mean, you look in Isaiah chapter 14, and Lucifer, a tremendous angel, okay, gifted in all kind of areas, especially music. And he turned his wisdom, he got it from who? God wouldn't give it to him? He went from the best angel to the worst angel, so to speak, right? Because he tried to bump heads with God, and he got put down. This wisdom descendeth not from above, but is earthly, sensual, devilish. Now, here's a sign of somebody. For where envy and strife is, there's confusion and every evil work. I tell people, don't say I'm confused. Okay? I really believe that. Don't say you're confused. You know why? I think the devil is the author of confusion. I think if, and again, I know sometimes you might be saying it not in a bad way. Well, I'm kind of confused. Would somebody explain that to me? Okay. And then if you can really explain it, that's good. But confusion is of the devil. He wants your mind to be confused. He wants us to where you're doubting the word of God, doubting the preaching of God's word. That's what he wants. That's what he wants. But the wisdom, verse 17, that is from above is first pure and peaceable, then peaceable, gentle, and easy to be entreated, full of mercy and good fruits, without partiality and without hypocrisy. Don't be partial. You know what hypocrisy is? A hypocrite is an actor. Another word for an actor is a pretender. Now understand that. A pretender, a liar, a deceiver, a hypocrite, pretending to be something he's not, but boasting that he is, bragging about what he is. You see what I'm saying? Don't turn there, but let me just read Deuteronomy 8:17 and 18 from Moses. And thou say in thine heart, my power. This is what Moses didn't want for the people coming out of Egypt. He didn't want this. He said, and thou say in thine heart, my power and the might of mine hand hath gotten me this wealth. He never wanted the people coming out of Egypt, and then God prospered them in the promised land. Who did that? God did that. He never wanted the people to say, look what I got. Look what I did. Are you with me? You know, I see this from the beginning of the Bible all the way to the end when the devil's going to be crushed. From the beginning of Genesis, I started reading, and I'm in different parts of the Bible, but I'm reading Genesis and Acts. I read Psalms every day. I read the proverb of the day every day. That's good for you, okay? That's good for you, okay? Have some type of a plan. If I don't have a plan, and then if I get up in the morning and I'm kind of busy and I watch my wife in there with her Bible open, and I haven't read my, you know what that brings to me? Conviction. Now, the Holy Spirit convicts you, but sometimes you can just look at somebody else and say, you know what? I've got time to read a little bit before I leave. My day is busy. That's good. How much better will God allow your time to be if you've given him some time? Amen? Let's be honest. He can do more with an hour than you can in 5 hours. And he will. He will accomplish what he wants from you. But thou shalt remember the Lord thy God, for it is he that giveth thee power to get wealth, that he may establish his covenant, which he sware unto thy fathers, as it is this day. Oh, we know about David and Goliath. I'm looking now. Thus saith the Lord, let not the wise man glory in his wisdom, neither let the mighty man glory in his might. And I'm thinking about David and Goliath. And I'm not going to go through the whole story, but you know, Saul, he was a big guy, but Goliath was huge. And you know what he was doing? He was bigger than Andre the Giant. He was about 9 foot tall. It talks about his spearhead that had a head on it that was 12 pounds, 10 to 12 pounds. And the spear shaft was about 10 foot long. Okay? And his armor weighed 20 to 30 pounds. And he had no problem getting around with that. Remember, he called David a dog. Remember? He laughed at David. His brothers laughed at David. Are you with me? Today I saw something. I know you'll see it because it already says there's 40 million viewers. If you've seen it, you tell me, did you see the mother that ran and got one of her dogs out of the mouth of a bear? Anybody see that yet? It was on the news at 5:30. The neighbor had a camera. I don't know where it was, but it was a big bear. It wasn't like a little bitty bear. Okay. David fought a big bear. This was a big bear up on a top of a rail, like a fence, but it's wide at the top. And he came over the fence some way, and the dogs were barking. So he grabbed one of the smaller dogs, put it in its mouth, okay? Now, I don't know what the next move is. All of a sudden, you see this lady shoot across the yard and grabs this dog out of its mouth. Something like in the Bible, right? I mean, I couldn't believe it. Now, you'll watch it, and then this mother or her dog, there was another dog, and she starts running with her dogs. That's all I know right now about the story. But it says it has 40 million hits already. Now, don't do that right now, okay? Wait, don't try to find that, okay? He's back there trying to find the mother and the bear, okay? Okay. So there went out a champion. You know what a champion was? A mighty man. This Goliath, he was a champion. And the Philistine said, I defy the armies of Israel this day. Give me a man that we might fight together. And when Saul and all Israel heard those words of the Philistine, they were dismayed and greatly afraid. I want to tell you something. A lot of this talks about Israel. We're in a day-to-day where Israel's talked about a lot. My wife was telling me about a young person that was, it took something negative about the Israels and the Palestinians and this and that, like Israelites did something wrong or something. I'm just exaggerating here. Not exaggerating, but I'm just making the story quick without saying people and stuff. And the person felt sorry for the Palestinian person. My wife's just trying to say, don't you know it's God's people today just like it was back then? It's the same. They're God's people. The enemy's been trying to kill God's people forever. Who? Israel. They're going to always be the apple of God's eye. Right? Now, salvation is for everyone. We know that. We know that. But one day the Jews are going to come out. One day the Jews will be defended by the Lord. And I think of this story, it made me right away think of David when he fought the lion and the bear and so forth and so on. And I guess the bear had the sheep, and David wasn't afraid. And he told Saul, hey, I one time fought against a bear, and I fought against a lion. And I bet you it was a big bear and a big lion. Okay. Just like somebody talks about Moses and the cross in the Red Sea, and they said, well, it was only 2 or 3 inches of water. Well, that same 2 or 3 inches of water that let Moses get through drowned all the other people in chariots and stuff. The world just doesn't want to believe anything in the Bible. I mean, Jonah, yes, was in the belly of a whale. Now, that's just the facts. Okay? You just got to believe it. Don't say, well, that's just some kind of a story. No, it's a story that's real. Amen? It's a story that's good. And here this mighty man is doing what it says. It clearly says, don't let the mighty man glory in his might. What was he doing? He was glorying. Here's a person that's a mighty man, and he's glorying. And the servant slew both the lion and the bear, and this uncircumcised Philistine shall be as one of them, seeing he hath defied the armies of the living God. One more verse about this. Then said David to the Philistine, thou comest to me with a sword and with a spear. I already told you about the spear. And with a shield. I come to thee in the name of the Lord of hosts, the God of the armies of Israel, whom thou hast defied. I'll tell you what, I feel sorry for any country that goes against Israel. Because they don't realize and believe God is still on their side. And it really bothers me when any administration is going to shy away from Israel. Watch for that. It's going to happen all the time. It's going to always be the talk. And they don't show us everything, but hey, it's all about Israel. Amen? We had, have you had Mark Thrift here before? Oh, yeah. Okay. I know all that group. Okay. They're all from the same seed or something. Okay. They're all just dynamite preachers, right? I mean, Mark Thrift starts sweating after 3 minutes. Okay. And you watch him moving around, and you see the sweat beads coming up. And then I always sit, well, where my wife is, but on this side. And he'll walk down, and he'll get right in front of me. I got to get back up here on the up here with the microphone. And Mark Thrift will get down on me, and I'm always afraid he's going to spit on me or throw sweat at me or something, okay? Because it's just, it comes out of his mouth, it comes off his head, it comes out of everywhere, and then he'll just look down at me. Is that right, Brother Ronnie? Yes, sir! Amen? That's right. Amen. So, Nebuchadnezzar was a mighty man. Mighty man. And he wanted to build an image of gold. 90 feet tall, 10 feet base around, or square, something like that. It was about 10 feet around, 90 feet tall. And whoso falleth not down and worshipeth shall the same hour be cast into the midst of a burning, fiery furnace. And whoso falleth not down, and I got that same verse written there twice. Oh, he said it twice, that he should be cast into the midst of a burning, fiery furnace. Daniel 3, 6 and 11. I thought I was reading the same verse. It's almost identical. Verse 12 says, there are certain Jews. Now they're going to tell on the Jews. There's going to be people talking about Israel. Now they're going to go to Nebuchadnezzar now and talk about how these Jews are defying him. And they're not bowing down. Are we supposed to bow down to anything? No, we're not. We're not supposed to bow down to anything. There are certain Jews whom thou hast set over the affairs of this province of Babylon, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. These men, O king, have not regarded thee. They serve not thy gods, nor worship the golden image which thou hast set up. Goes on down. In verse 18 it says, but if not, be it known unto thee, O king, that we will not serve thy gods, little g. In other words, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego said, we're not going to serve those gods. We're not bowing down to them. We know Daniel did the same thing. He prayed, you know, morning, noon, and night. And he didn't care who was watching. Are you with me? And hey, he got thrown down with the lions, and what happened? He cuddled up under them and I guess went to sleep or something. I don't know what happened, but when they sent the other people down there, they chopped them up, right, and ate them. Their bones, they never hit the bottom. But with Daniel, hey, you're safe when God's on your side. And he answered and said, lo, I see four men loose, walking in the midst of the fire, and they have no hurt. And the form of the fourth, now he changes the Son of God, capital G. He changes it to a little g, to a big G in Daniel 3:25. I'm sorry, I should have had you turn there. And the form of the fourth is like the Son of God. Turn to Daniel 5:19. Daniel 5:19. And for the majesty that he gave him, all people, nations, and languages trembled and feared before him, whom he would, he slew. And whom he would, he kept alive. And whom he would, he set up. And whom he would, he put down. Now, this is a mighty man. Verse 20. But when his heart was lifted up. You know what was Nebuchadnezzar's heart lifted up with? Pride. He was a mighty man. His heart got lifted up. His mind hardened in pride. He was deposed from this kingly throne. And they took his glory from him. His glory was taken from him because he wanted to be somebody mighty. I think of 3 John. Turn there. 3 John. I've seen over the years, we first started going to church and heard about some things that had happened in the church prior to that. And I think of this guy here that I'm going to talk about. He thought he was a mighty man in the church. Well, God has the church set up. There's a pastor in the church. Amen? And I mean, God puts the pastor in the pulpit. And, you know, be careful going against the pastor. Be careful of you trying to be some mighty man. Be careful of you saying to him, you've taken too much on yourself. Are you with me? Now look at 3 John and remember this. Verse 9. Now, this is the Apostle John talking. I wrote unto the church, but Diotrephes, that's the man, who loveth to have the preeminence among them, received us not. Wherefore, if I come, I will remember his deeds, which he doeth, prating against us with malicious words, and not content therewith. Neither doth he himself receive the brethren, and forbiddeth them that would, and casting them out of the church. Beloved, follow not that which is evil, but that which is good. He that doeth good is of God, and he that doeth evil hath not seen God. So Demetrius is doing something good, and he's talking about, the Apostle John's talking about Diotrephes. Who did he think he was? Some mighty man. This mighty man Diotrephes was saying, I'll tell you who you should have in the church. He would probably say, yeah, no, you're not going to have Paul in the church. You're not going to have Peter in the church. I'm just making this up. I'm just trying to tell you what kind of a guy he was. Are you with me? Well, you know, when Brother Larry says we're going to have somebody in the church, I mean, not necessarily talking about me. You should respect who's behind here. And I'm not trying to get a pat on the back. I know one thing. I'm not a Larry Lafreniere. I know I'm not a Mark Thrift. I know I'm not a Gary Britton. But God allowed me to pastor for, I was 10 years at Trinity Baptist Church as the assistant pastor. He let me pastor for almost 30 years. And it was a wonderful time. And hey, what I could do there was the only one that could do that there in Texas City. And the same thing with Brother Lafreniere here and doing meetings and with Brother Gary and Arcola. Are you with me? Mark Thrift, when he pastored there at Parkwood, and now, can't think of the young man that's there now. Anyway, another young pastor now is taking up that mantle and is preaching at Parkwood. Amen? God is the one that puts up. God is the one that puts down. He raised up David, and he put down Saul. It had nothing to do with the height. Had nothing to do with the might. It had to do what was in God's heart. Remember what was said. A man after God's own heart. Where else is that said? No, nowhere else like that. I did a funeral not too long ago, and I looked up the man that died. I said he had a heartbeat for God. Nothing wrong with that. I hope you have a heartbeat for God. Are you with me? Right? That sounds good. Have a heartbeat for God. And I think you then will be what David was trying to be. A man or a woman after God's own heart. A mom after God's own heart. A dad after God's own heart. A young man or a young lady after God's own heart. Have a heartbeat for God. Amen? God will bless you. I tell you what, I was excited. And I'll let another man praise thee and not thine own self. Brother George, I'll tell you what, it's exciting to see a young man get up here that has a heartbeat for God. Now, he was humbled. Do you want to do this? Do you want to do that? Do you want to do this? Do you want to do that? And in my heart, I was thinking, no, I was hoping you'd be here. Okay? I didn't know his name. Okay. I said, Lord, I'm hoping that guy, you know who he is. I'm hoping he's here.
And I hope you tap on his heart. And I hope everything goes well. And I know he plays a guitar too. And so have that ready. And everything will be good. And it was. Amen? That's God's heart. God has a heart.
David was a man after God's own heart. And I'll tell you what, when God told me that day at that funeral to say about this man, Isidro Rodriguez, we knew him when we pastored in Texas City, sweet family. They have four girls, an older girl, twins that are married. They all have children. And wonderful families that God is blessed with. And use of God. Amen? And I just came up with a little phrase. He's got a heartbeat for God. A heartbeat for God. He was young. Was he about 60? He was exactly 60. 60 years old. 60 years old. One time he got hit by a truck on the highway. Because that's what he does. Works for Texas Dot, whatever. And he was in a coma. I don't know, 19 years ago or something. Something like that. And he was in a coma. And he made it. You know why he made it? God wasn't finished with him yet. He had some daughters he had to raise up in a church. He had something to do. You got things to do. Find out what God wants you to do. And hey, don't boast about several things, but hey, there's some things. Turn with me to Acts 12. Acts 12:21. Again, what are we talking about? Mighty men. Acts 12:21. And upon a set day, Herod, arrayed in royal apparel. And you know, there's something about that just starts off that doesn't sound like it's going to be good. Here's a mighty man. Sat upon his throne and made an oration to them. And the people gave a shout, saying, "It is the voice of a god, little g, and not of a man." You know what the people were saying? "Yes, yes, speak, Herod, speak." And this is what he was doing. "Yes, I will speak in my royal attire, and I will talk to you." And immediately, in verse 23, "And immediately the angel of the Lord smote him, because he gave not God the glory. And he was eaten of worms and gave up the ghost. But the word of God grew and multiplied." You know, it says, "and immediately." You know what? Immediately God can change things. Do you believe that? Immediately, due time, God can immediately give you something. Just like that. You've been praying about something for a while. Boom, due time. God said, now you can handle it because you've been humble for a while. I'm going to give you this or give you that or do something for the church. Amen? Turn with me to Psalm 49. I've already mentioned, don't let the wise man glory in his wisdom, neither let the mighty man glory in his might. Let not the rich man glory in his riches. Psalm 49:6. Psalm 49:6. "They that trust in their wealth and boast themselves in the multitude of their riches," boasting is glorying, boasting is bragging, okay? "They that trust in their wealth." That verse immediately I have and shows this because
that fast a person's wealth can be gone. You know, I don't know too much about the stock market crash in the, what was it, the 20s or something, or the 40s, the 20s, whenever it crashed. Doesn't matter. We wasn't too, I was born in 46. I was probably in diapers or something. Who knows? It doesn't matter. All I'm saying is there's people that were jumping off of buildings because they lost everything. They couldn't stand it. They were killing themselves and so forth and so on. They that trust in their wealth and boast themselves in the multitude of their riches. And this is what God can do. Look at verse 10, 49:10. For he seeth that wise men die. Likewise the fool and the brutish person perish and leave their wealth to who? Others. Well, God has other plans for some people's money. Right? God has other plans. Turn with me to Mark 10. I'm going to talk on the riches for just a few minutes. I know you agree with me about the wise man, the mighty man, the riches. Mark 10:24. And the disciples were astonished in his words. That's Jesus, of Jesus. But Jesus answering again and saith unto them, children, how hard is it for them that trust in riches to enter into the kingdom of God? Verse 25. It is easier for a camel to go through an eye of a needle than for a rich man to enter into the kingdom of God. I think that's clear, huh? Your riches will not get you to heaven. Your wealth will not get you to heaven. You can't buy your way into heaven. Luke 12:19. Now there's a time you might want to retire. There's a time that you might do something different in life. Luke 12:19. And I will say to my soul, soul, thou hast much goods laid up for many years. Take thine ease, eat, drink, and be merry. But God said unto him, thou fool, this night thy soul shall be required of thee. Then whose shall those things be which thou hast provided? Immediately, what's going to happen? They're gone. They're gone. Turn with me to 1 Timothy 6:10. I'm near the end of verse 23. First Timothy 6:10, for the love of money is the root of all evil, not the money, the love of it, which while some men coveted after, that's what they do, they have erred from the faith. That can happen to preachers, it can happen to anybody, and pierced themselves through with many sorrows. Amen? What are they supposed to do? Look at verse 17. Charge them that are rich in this world that they be not high-minded or boasting, nor trust in uncertain riches, but in the living God, who giveth us richly all things to enjoy. Verse 18, that they do good, that they be rich in good works, ready to distribute, willing to communicate. You know, we can just throw in a word about missions right there, right? Amen? You got it to give? Give to missions, amen? You got some good missionaries in there. God's blessed our church with a lot of missionaries. Praise God. It's only because people in the church are convinced about that. Are you with me? Verse 19, laying up in store for themselves a good foundation against the time to come, that they may lay hold on what? Eternal life. Let's turn quickly to... No, I think I'm good. Let me go to the text again. Let me take a look at verse 24 if you want to go there. Jeremiah 9:24. Remember we just read, let not the wise man glory in his wisdom, neither let the mighty man glory in his might. Let not the rich man glory in his riches. Verse 24. But let him that glorieth glory in this. What does God want? That he understandeth and knoweth me. Do you know him? Hey, that's what 1 John 5:13 says, that we're to know him. Amen? We're to know him. That's what you can brag about. Praise God, I got saved. Amen? I remember when I got saved. And knoweth me that I am the Lord which exercise loving kindness, judgment, and righteousness in the earth. For in these things I delight, saith the Lord. I'm not concerned about the money, the wealth, or the fame. I'm concerned about your heart for me. I'm concerned about your heart for God, that you know him and that you're wanting others to know about him. Amen? That's what God wants. There's somebody in your life that God has placed you at work or somewhere, or you have an opportunity to glory about what God's done for you. You have an opportunity to glory, not in a boastful way, but give God the glory for everything he's done for you. Right? Is that what it says? What's God looking for? He's looking for that. 2 Corinthians 10:17, but he that glorieth, let him glory in the Lord. Amen? Him that glorieth, hey, makes it clear, doesn't it? We get to the end and we see what it's all about. Glory in the Lord. Turn to Galatians 6:14. Wrap up. Galatians 6:14. But God forbid that I should glory save in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom the world is crucified unto me, and I unto the world. God forbid that I should glory. Amen. Boy, as I was working on this message, I'd find little jewels like that, and I'd say, wow, the message is clear. Turn with me to John 17:3. I'm going to wrap up. John 17:3. And this is life eternal, that they may know thee, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom thou hast sent. Verse 4. I have glorified thee on the earth. I have finished the work which thou gavest me to do. Jesus could say that. What has God given to you to do? What does God want out of you? Could you ponder on that tonight? You go home, you lay in bed, and ponder on, wow, maybe I've not been looking at might and fame and riches and wisdom the right way. Lord, I want to humble myself and ask you, what do you want of me? Because I see now that you can give me the wisdom. You can give me what I need financially. And you can give me what I need if there's going to be any fame in my life. Because whatever you have picked for me, I want to do it. I want to do what only you have picked for me. And believe God will do that for you. Would you bow your head just in closing? God's created you for his good pleasure. That's a message. Revelation 4:11. You've been created for his good pleasure. What is your life going to be at the end? Well done. Well done. I created you for this. Well done, thou good and faithful servant. He doesn't say anything about anything else, just a faithful servant. I think God will give you everything you need to be the faithful servant he wants you to be. Father in heaven, thank you for the people here at Glory. Thank you for the pastor and what you're doing here, how you're blessing here. We ask you to bless wherever Brother Loffinger is preaching. Use it, and everyone would be back Sunday to their place. We'll thank you for all things. In Christ's name, amen. Amen. God bless you.